Today on Real Radio.
But there are so many evils aligned against us, and we're not doing as good as we look. People masquerading as Christian, people masquerading holding a Bible. Yet they don't open it, they don't read it, they don't know it. And because of that, they have no promises, they have no faith, they have no strength. Why would you choose to live like that? I know why.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We've been looking at chapter 12 of John's apocalyptic report. In verses 7 through 12, we are told of the great war that takes place in heaven with Michael and his angels fighting against Satan and his angels. Our study is called Salvation is the Victory of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
But these are mighty, strong, angelic, and demonic angels warring and fighting. By the way, you got to wonder sometimes what goes on in our lives about what is behind those strange things that happen in our lives and our marriages and with our children. Don't you think if you read the Bible that there's demonic powers? See, we don't think like that. When your kid starts acting like a lunatic and stuff, it's like, well, you know, stop eating that much candy, you weirdo. Calm down. Eat some vegetables. You won't act like a crazy person. Hey, maybe there's demonic activity going on against that kid. Listen, if Fidel Castro's smart enough to say, give me the American youth by the age of 5 and I'll have a communist, then don't you think Satan knows that too? Spiritual, what's going on in your marriage? I don't know, Pastor, can't explain it. Maybe there's demonic powers behind it. So can you blame everything on the devil? No, I'm not. But sometimes we forget to understand that there's a real power taking place. Matthew 25:41 says, Jesus said, by the way, then he will also say to those on his left hand, Jesus speaking of himself in judgment, when that time comes, he says, depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Hell was never created for humans. But humans wind up going there because they so are bent on rejecting Christ. Jesus says hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels. Isaiah 24:21 says, in that day the Lord will punish the powers of the heavens above and the kings of the earth below. That's a reference to the great tribulation period, Isaiah 24 says. People, the point is we need to pray. We really need to pray because we are reminded right now as we look to this chapter right here in this verse that there's this warfare that takes place. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That ought to freak you out. Have you watched some of these Olympics and these guys are wrestling and stuff? You watch that? You can see what your opponent's doing? The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. How do we fight? How do we fight them? Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always. Isn't that wild? Are you guys with me? Pray. We mentioned that last week about warring is prayer. It's amazing. There could be angels and demons fighting right in front of us right now, and you can detonate a nuclear bomb right here, right now, and it wouldn't do anything to that kingdom that they live in. Isn't that weird? They're spiritual beings. It may vaporize all of us, but not the spiritual realm. Isn't that wild to think? Remember, the Bible warns us and tells us to be nice to strangers because some people who, having been nice to strangers, took care of angels, and they weren't even aware of it. They can materialize and then they can fade back into the realm where they come from. Angels warring, angels fighting. And what is the force whereby we mere humans can get involved in that fight? It's prayer. Over and over again, the Bible says pray. Listen, there's a victory that can only be had through war. And for us as Christians, we don't pick up guns and shoot people and throw, fiery bombs upon people. We don't commandeer airplanes and fly them into buildings to make a statement. That's insanity. That's demonic. When the Christian wars, we're to pray. That's why the Bible says that when we pray, we need to pray for our presidents and kings and those who rule over us. Why? Because there's demonic powers against them. And there's demonic powers against us. Pray, says the Bible. We need to pray and pray again because heaven hears. God listens. Daniel 12:1 says, and at that time, that's this time. So Bible student, Revelation 12 and Daniel 12, verse 1 says, at that time. You say, what time is a Bible student? At that time, Michael shall stand up. What time will Michael stand up? We know now, don't we? It's Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Is an exact correlation to Daniel 12:1. Michael shall stand up, and you got to love it. The word stand up is Michael stands up to act and to defend. Ooh, I like that. He stands up to act and to defend, and he's going to defend, as we saw last week, the nation of Israel during that tribulation period. And that's a good thing. A second thing that we see under this point here is that fighting the right battles wins us the victory, is that there's a victory that is fully guaranteed us as believers. Verse 8 says, but they, that is the dragon and his angels, did not prevail. I love this. I love this, not prevailing. Church, listen, this is so cool. And if I would have been thinking, I would have showed you a photo of this. But on our trips to Israel, there is a place called Caesarea Philippi. It is in northern Israel. See, so what? Oh, it's a big deal. Here's the reason why. When Jesus took his disciples away to rest, he took them, the Bible says, to Caesarea Philippi. You say, well, so what again? Well, hang on. As he took them there, it's not the place where Christians go to rest. It's the biggest stronghold of its day of demonism and Satan worship. It's kind of like let's have a Christian retreat in... I don't know. I haven't. Vegas. Yeah, really. Vegas. Hollywood. Places like that. I hear some of you have gotten around. Some of you say are New Orleans. All these other places. Think about it. Hey, we're going to, ladies and gentlemen, husbands and wives, sign up for our next year marriage retreat. We're going to be having it on the Las Vegas Strip. Can you imagine? You say, well, I can't sign up. Well, listen. Jesus took his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. And you know what he said there on a retreat? Do you know what he said to them? Right in the midst of the whole thing, he asked them a question. Who do you say that I am? Now, you never would have gotten why did he ask that question until you go to Caesarea Philippi. It's a big, gigantic rock with a hole in it. And at the base of it, coming out of the earth, is the Jordan River. And there's these carvings cut into the side of the hill where the worshipers at Caesarea Philippi would put their gods up. And they would worship in front of these gods. And then they would take their firstborn child or animals and throw them into the headwaters, sacrificing them as human or animal sacrifices to the various gods. It was the darkest place on the planet. By the way, Pan was worshipped there. Pan worship. This is not a joke. I'm not kidding. Pan worship goes by a name. It's called Pan Ick. When they worshipped, they went insane. And all these bizarre sexual orgies, and they would sacrifice themselves and their firstborn children. And it was called panic, the worship of Pan, Where did that happen? Caesarea Philippi. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Why did he ask that question? Because you would approach your various God, declare his or her name, and then give them your obeisance, give them your worship. Jesus turns and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What did Jesus say? He went on to say, "I tell you this, upon this truth, my church will be built, and the what? Gates of what? Hell shall not prevail." Guess what the name of that pit at Caesarea Philippi was called? The Gates of Hell. That's why he said what he said. What's my point? It is this, that the victory is fully guaranteed because, number one, Jesus says, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." If anyone knocks on your door and says, "The church that Jesus started failed and it ceased to exist, and now we're here to bring it back. We are the latter-day manifestations of a church gone bad." The number one problem is Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." So what went wrong? Answer, nothing went wrong. The gates of hell will not prevail. Neither shall a dragon or his fallen angels prevail, says the Bible. And I love that. If you know Jesus Christ personally, you can be rest assured of John chapter 10, verse 27, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life." Notice, they don't earn eternal life. He gives them eternal life, freebie, "and they shall never perish." How long do you think never is? "Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Verse 29, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." I tell you, you trust in Jesus Christ, then there's a victory fully and absolutely guaranteed upon you. Philippians 1:6 says that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. That is, until Christ comes back. You want to jot these down. There might be some encouragement to you. That was Philippians 1:6. How about this one? Psalm 138:8. "Lord, you will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." Guess what? He will not. I start painting something. You know, I start painting a part of the house and the phone rings, and it's about 9 months before I get back to that spot. I wish I was joking. Jude 1:24, "Now unto him," not you, not me, "now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Can somebody say amen? Thank you. John 16:11, Jesus says, "The ruler of this world has been judged," speaking of Satan. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Inasmuch as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood," that's us, look, we're flesh and blood, "he himself also shared in the same flesh and blood, that through death Jesus might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to the bondage of fear." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you caught that verse there in Hebrews 2:14, but that's great news. Satan causes you, wants you to be in absolute fear of death or not even think about death. The wonderful news about this is that Jesus Christ came, veiled himself in human skin, the Bible says, went to the cross to pay, listen, the debt that set us free from that anchor that would pull us down into hell. Jesus cut it. Like a great balloon, maybe locked onto a tree or something like that. And that balloon is full of helium and it wants to go. And it's wavering in the wind because it's got to go. It's built to go. And it's caught in that tree and somebody comes by and snips the cord and away it goes. That sin was pulling us down all of our lives, no matter what that sin might be. And Jesus comes and he cuts that cord that binds us. And we're free. Absolute victory through Jesus Christ. Notice I've read some verses. You can't earn it. It's a gift freely given, but it's an absolute victory. And that's what we look at our third consideration in verse 8. There is a victory that is absolute, completely, absolutely final. It says that there was no place found for them, church, who is the them? The dragon and his angels in heaven any longer. They're kicked out. They no longer have access, and that's good news. You're going to see what that does, by the way, in response, because he and his fallen ones have no access. And that's very, very good news. Luke 22:31 says this about Peter, and I have to tell you, when we look at this victory that is absolutely final, can you, if you haven't written anything down, will you please make note of this? If you're a Christian this morning, if you're trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the victory is so absolutely final. No matter what's going on in your life, did you hear what I said? No matter what's going on in your life, are you a Christian this morning? You may say, well, Pastor, I don't know what's going on in my life. I can't make heads or tails of it, but I know I'm a Christian. Church, have you ever been in the place where nothing makes sense, but you know God has called you to be his child? Nothing makes sense. Have you ever gone through pain and it hurts so bad and it's so ongoing that you begin to think, you know, why continue any longer? When I visit people in the hospital or when they go home to die in their homes and you see them suffering, I've learned over the years to walk out of that hospital or walk out of that home thinking this way. This is exactly what Satan loves. He loves this. And he has come that the world, whole world might be like this. Lord, deliver them from their pain soon enough. Lord, show this precious saint your glory even now before they see you. Bless them. Give them dreams, Lord, that is greater than the pain that this world puts upon them. See, why do you say that? Because, my friend, we may look like we're living a cush, happy life here in sunny Southern California, but there are so many evils aligned against us, and we're not doing as good as we look. People masquerading as Christian, people masquerading holding a Bible, yet they don't open it, they don't read it, they don't know it, and because of that, they have no promises, they have no faith, they have no strength. Why would you choose to live like that? I know why. Because the world is still so titillating to you, so exciting to you, that you still flirt with it and play with it. Just know this, it's cancerous, and it's killing you. But when you pick up the Bible, you can be rest assured you are guaranteed by God absolute victory. It's final. Amen. Absolute. Listen, and that's good news if you, poor Peter, you think of Peter in Luke 22. Luke 22:31. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. I've told you before, you already know what I'm going to say. I told you before that if here Satan shows up to Jesus and says, hey, let me have Peter. I want to shred him. That word sift as wheat, not a good word. Now Jesus says, verse 32, but I've prayed for you, Peter. Well, that's nice. And that your faith should not fail you. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Excuse me, Lord, I'm not sure if I understood that right. Satan came, asked you to shred me. He wants access to me. And I'm sorry. You know, what did you say to him? Well, first of all, Peter, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And after he's done with you, when you recover, strengthen your brothers and sisters in the faith. Okay, Jesus, can we conference on this right now? How about this? Satan asked you to give permission, access to me, to rip me up? How about you just say no? Just say, Satan asked, Jesus, you say no. Everything's fine. This is true. Very temporal, very shallow. I'll have nothing to share to anybody about the power of God in my life. Are you ready for this? Because we live in a fallen, evil world, rotten, stinking things happen to all of us. But we have the promises of God that promise us absolute victory. That's final. And after we've weathered them, by the grace of God, who, the Bible says, will not let us go through anything that we cannot endure, because I've already tried to inform him, I've had enough. I can't take it. He goes, yes, you can. Another month of it. Lord, listen to me. And he just doesn't listen. But listen, if you're going to grow as a Christian, he'll take you right to the brink, and then he'll stop it and bring in the mercy. You say, I don't like that. That's just too bad. I was going to say that's tough, but that probably wouldn't have been nice to say. But it is tough. This is tough. That's how we grow. You say, yeah, my non-believing friends, they have just as much problems as I do. Or in fact, I have more problems than my non-believing friends. I know, but they're all watching you because you said you're a Christian. And they got their eyes on you. Well, let's see what he does now. You see? Well, Satan's days are numbered. And he's been booted out of heaven at this time of the book of Revelation. He has access there right now. But the good news is, if you think about it, did Peter come back to strengthen his brethren? Oh, big time. I got news for you. Peter later on in his epistles make it very clear to us that he wouldn't have changed a thing. What about Job? Going back to Job, remember what happened to him? All of his children were killed. Satan killed his kids. He had sores all over his pussy body. Pus oozing out its, and he took broken glass and scraped the pus, it says, off his skin. And he sat in a heap of ashes and just cried. You think he got it bad? And then of all things, his wife shows up to him and says, why don't you curse God and die? And he says, you speak to me like one, like some of the idiot women of this country, of this land. He would not curse God. And the Bible says in the end, Job was happier than he was at the beginning. That can only happen through God in your life, my friend. Only through God. Point number 2, verses 9 through 10, salvation is the victory of God. Our victory is an overwhelming victory. It's an overwhelming victory. Why? Because our true enemy is overwhelmingly defeated. Verse 9, so the great dragon, Satan, was cast out. That old serpent, listen, old serpent, reference to the garden, called the devil. The word devil, diablos, means the slanderer or one who accuses.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study taken from Revelation chapter 12 and verses 7 through 12, it's a look at John's report of the war that takes place in the heavenly realm, Michael and his angels against Satan and his. Salvation is the victory of God. That's the title of this study, and we invite you to join us again for tomorrow's broadcast of Real Radio as we continue through the book of Revelation. Meanwhile, pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org is where you can learn more about this radio outreach and how it's affecting lives for Christ globally. Realradioactive.org is where you'll also find a welcome message by Pastor Jack, links to other ministries, as well as to other organizations dedicated to bringing us the truth about today's issues, including enemies of Israel, enemies of our Maker, global security, and truth in today's media. You see, our mission here at Real Radio is for you to be equipped. So, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can help out by contributing to our radio fund. Here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.